All right, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of Psalms in chapter 107, Psalms 107. And don't worry, I'm just going to share a short challenge from Scripture. All right, so you're looking at the time here saying, man, the preaching is about to start and it's already 9:50, so don't worry about it. Okay, I only have a couple of pages of notes. I usually have about seven, so today I only have two, so don't be so nervous, okay? I know Phil was this morning, so no, I'm kidding. So let's look at Psalm 107. And you know, there's a virtue that we seldom find in people today. Most people live lives of complaint, and we seldom find thanksgiving and gratefulness. So this morning, I'd like to talk to you about a life, living a life of thanksgiving. Living a life of thanksgiving. And most people live lives of complaints. And normally, we complain about things that don't really matter. We complain because things don't go our way. We complain because we don't have what we want, or we don't have what we think we deserve. We complain because our circumstances are not the circumstances we wish we had in our lives. We complain because we don't have the money we want to have, because we don't have the position we want to have, because we don't have the job we want. And a lot of the things that we complain about have to do with things that are not ultimately important in light of eternity. I mean, even a phrase we use, right, when people greet us, hey, how are you doing? Well, I can't complain. Right? You hear people say that? Well, we shouldn't complain, right? But it just becomes something normal, right? I can't complain. Well, what if you could complain, right? Then would you complain? Right? Or, you know, well, how are you doing? Well, you know, it's been hard, but it doesn't help if I keep complaining, right? It doesn't help if I complain. Heard many people say that. Or, how are you doing? I'm surviving. Right? You heard people say that? I'm surviving. We're not meant to survive. We're meant to thrive in Jesus. Yet, because we don't have what we think we should have, or the circumstances we think we should have in our lives, we are surviving. And we don't live a life of thanksgiving. And not only do we complain often, but we also hardly ever thank the Lord for all His blessings. We thank the Lord at New Year's, right? And then a lot of the rest of the year, we struggle to thank the Lord. And we don't thank the Lord often for the small things that we receive from His hand every day, right? You hear people praise and thank God occasionally when they receive a big sum of money, a big bonus, they finish a degree, right? Or their diploma, they get a better job. They get a promotion at work, and then they put on Facebook, God's time is the best, right? But we don't live a life of thanksgiving. And this morning, we're going to look at what the Bible says about living a life of thanksgiving, because our lives should be completely characterized by thanksgiving. Look at Psalm 107, and we're going to look at verse 1. I'm going to just reference a bit the few verses, but we're going to look at verse 1 mainly this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. This phrase, this passage, is repeated several times in the Bible. In fact, that 1 Chronicles 16 verse, or passages that we read this morning, the prayer and the song begins in verse 8 with this particular passage. And that's the first time we find it in the Bible. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. In Psalm 107, some have said that it has to do with the restoration of Israel from exile, or the Jewish people from exile. You remember they were taken to Babylon because of their sin, because primarily because of idolatry. And so they disobeyed God, they ignored his covenant, and they were taken captives by King Nebuchadnezzar to Babylon. Then after 70 years in exile, many of them, most of them are allowed to return. And this psalm shows us what is happening, what happens after what this prayer and this song that is sang after the people of Judah come back from exile. And so, and the psalmist is structured in a traditional Hebrew way. You know, the Hebrews would write, usually they would begin, the first sentence or verse would begin with a general description or summary, and then the rest of the chapter will describe the first verse. For example, in Genesis 1:1, right? In the beginning, the Lord created the heavens and the earth. And then, Genesis 1 and 2 tells us, right? How the Lord created the heavens and the earth. But then in this passage is the same thing. 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And the rest of the chapter is going to tell us how the Lord is good, why we should thank him. And the whole chapter is going to be about that. I wouldn't have time to go through all 43 verses, but just keep that in mind as you go home so that you spend more time in this chapter by yourself. And so in this chapter, the writer is going to teach us how to be thankful because the Lord is good. And then he will give us a description of the Lord's goodness and mercy in the rest of the chapter. So let's break down this verse 1. So this is where we're going to spend our time this morning. Verse 1. And so let's begin with looking at the commandment that we find there. And look at verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." And here's the commandment, to give thanks to the Lord. And this is Christ, what our life should be like. Notice that it is a commandment, okay? It isn't a suggestion. It is a commandment. A grateful life. Now, it's also a delight, right? When we are grateful to the Lord, we are delighting in him. And it's so joyful. Our lives are joyful when we live a life of thanksgiving. But here, the Bible portrays thanksgiving as a commandment. Not a suggestion. And throughout the Bible, we find the commandment to be thankful. The idea of thanksgiving appears about over 200 times in the scriptures. And most of the time, it appears as a commandment. And so, because it appears so many times, it must be important to the Lord. He commands us to be thankful. And so, and I like it that he puts it in an exclamation way. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. So he's adding more emphasis here to this commandment. And so the verb here to give thanks to the Lord is actually active. So our thanksgiving, what he's trying to portray, is our thanksgiving should be something consistent and constant. It is an active action because it is a response to something that is also active and consistent. And that is the steadfast love. Look at this. This is amazing. His love or his mercy, you may have the word mercy in your translation, but his love is steadfast. That means that it is constant. It's not wavering. His love endures forever. Therefore, our life should be steadfast in thanksgiving. We should be grateful consistently and constantly and always. It is a verb of action here. It is consistent because his love is also consistent. He's steadfast in his love. Therefore, you must be steadfast in your thanksgiving. Isn't that amazing? Yet at times, sadly, we live steadfast lives and complain. You see, thanksgiving shows humility. Not only because it's obedience to the commandment of the Lord, but because it shows you are dependent and that you understand and that you understand so, that you are dependent. Lack of thanksgiving exhibits pride in your life because you're doing things in your own strength. You think that you're doing it because you're so strong. You don't say that with your mouth, right? We don't. But when we live lives just not thanking the Lord for his daily gifts, for his amazing grace, for his steadfast love and faithfulness, We exhibit pride in our lives because we indirectly think that things come from our own hand and not from the Lord's hand. I mean, imagine here the Jewish people, all the thoughts they had after coming back from exile. They were primarily, they were to be thankful. They were excited. They were, man, we're going back to our land, right? Some of them had been born in captivity. And they were going back to their land. And they're commanded and they're encouraged to be thankful. But you know what's sad? Shortly after they came back from exile, think about this. You remember the book of Haggai? What happens? They're building their own houses. They're taking care of their own things, their own lives. They're building their own kingdoms. And God says, is it right for you to be building your own houses, your own kingdoms, and the house of the Lord lays desolate? It is destroyed. The place of worship, because you are to be thankful and worship the Lord, that should have been the first priority for you. But no, you're building your houses, you're building your kingdoms, you're building your businesses, and the house of the Lord still remains empty. See how soon they forgot to be thankful. And we are like that many times. Let me read to you Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15. And if you're taking notes, you can write it down. Colossians 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3, 15. The Bible says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's a commandment again. And in Philippians, if you go a couple of pages before that, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Philippians 4, 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything and by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to the Lord. You see, when you're not thankful, it creates anxiety. It creates anxiety in your life because you don't realize that everything that happens in your life comes from the Lord and He rules. Heaven rules, right? Sovereignly, in a good manner, because our God is good. And are you grateful today? Are you grateful to God? Do you constantly think of Him? Thank Him, I'm sorry. Do you constantly practice thanksgiving? Or do you live a life of complaint and anxiety? Do not because of physical reasons, but because you're not thankful. So that's the commandment. Look at the subject. Look at the subject of our thanksgiving. I didn't say the object, but I like to say subject better because the Lord is not an object per se, though grammatically it fits. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Who do you give thanks to? The Lord. This reminds us whom we should be grateful with. We should be grateful to the Lord. The fact that He is the Lord means that He rules. He controls everything. He sits on the throne of the universe. Therefore, we should be grateful to Him. Imagine this. The people of Judah had been taken captive. And primarily because of their idolatry. They lived serving false gods. And thinking of those gods as if they were alive. And thanking them as if they delivered them and did everything for them. That's what it meant to live for God, to thank that God for their crops, for their abundance. And they lived thanking those gods, false gods. And that was the primary reason why they went into exile, because of their disobedience. You remember in Isaiah, there's this guy that takes a log, a piece of wood, and out of it, he chops a portion of it and he makes fire and he's warm, right? And says, aha, I'm warm now. And out of the other half, he makes an idol, a god, and says, oh, you are my God, deliver me. And he's worshiping and thanking that false god. But the Bible is clear that our thanksgiving should be addressed to the Lord. He's the one that has delivered us. See, some people today thank Allah, right? False god. Many other religions, they all have their gods. And they do so many things to thank them. Many people think they thank Mary, right? I mean, I grew up in a Catholic country, generally Catholic country. And everybody has their own preferred saint to whom they pray. Saint of the lost causes. If you want to find a husband or wife, there's a particular saint for that. If you want to have a particular blessing, there's a saint for that. I was in Costa Rica one time, and there was a church where people would pray to a particular saint there, and they would make a vow to them, to the saint, and they would bring their degree papers. They would bring their job promotion, right? Their pay slip to show that they got the job promotion, right? And the whole church was filled with papers from degrees of people, like some gold rings because they made more money, or some papers of, they got a promotion because a saint did it for them. And people live lives thanking saints. Look, other people have it wrong, and they think they're grateful to inanimate, non-existing things. For example, many people thank life, right? Oh, life has been great to me. I'm so thankful because life has given me everything. Well, that's an abstract concept. That's not a personal being, right? Other people thank the universe. Have you ever heard people that love, oh, the universe brought us together? No, didn't happen that way, right? Maybe a coffee shop brought you together, or maybe, I don't know, Facebook, but not the universe, right? So many people think luck, right? How many people say, oh, luck, I've been lucky this year? This, by the way, let me just, in case you never heard this, but luck does not exist, by the way. It doesn't exist. It's not biblical. Everything is ordained by a sovereign, loving God. Luck does not exist. There's no lucky people. That doesn't happen, okay? I mean, I know when people say, oh, good luck with your exams or whatever, right? Well, if you didn't study, it doesn't matter how much luck you wish to each other, it's not going to happen, okay? So luck does not exist. People say, oh, I make my own luck. No, you don't. There's a sovereign, loving God that sits in heaven. Other people thank fate, right? Or destiny. Others thank Mother Nature, right? Mother Nature gives us everything. But in this passage, we realize that there's a personal, loving God to whom we should be thankful. We don't thank inanimate, non-existing, or non-living things. We have a relationship with a personal, loving God. He is personal. He's near you. He hears you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. And he wants that relationship to be deep and close. The Bible says he controls everything. But he also tells us he controls everything in a loving manner. And so the object, subject of our thanksgiving is the Lord. And why? Look at the last part of the verse. The reason. Why should we be thankful? So we looked at the commandment, the subject of our thanksgiving, and the reason of our thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Here are two reasons. They're both interrelated. Number one, because he is good. This is what denotes the general character of God. He is good. He is the definition of good. God is good. That is his nature. And he cannot act against his nature. He acts according to his nature. So his nature is that he is a good God. And because he is good, he shows grace, he shows mercy, he shows love, he shows kindness, he protects us, he gives us abundantly, he's a cheerful giver, he's a gracious God, because he is good. Why should you be thankful? Because our God is good. In other words, we are grateful to him because of who he is. God is good. Now, not only is he good, but how is his goodness demonstrated? His steadfast love endures forever. And so, this is what is called a parallelism in the Hebrew poetry. It's a synonymous parallelism. He is good, and how is he good? His mercy, his love endures forever. This is the pinnacle of the passage. His love is everlasting. He is good all the time, forever. You know how we say, God is good? All the time. And all the time, God is good. Well, that's what this passage is saying. He is good forever. His love will never waver and it will never diminish. He's always good. And the fact that he is good means that he loves us. He will never stop loving you. The Bible says that he who does not know God does not... He who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Love finds its ultimate definition in God. And the greatest expression of love is found in God. So he commands us to be grateful. He is the object of our thanksgiving. And he gives us reasons why we must be grateful. Because he is good all the time. Now let me just show you, and I'm going to end here. And we're not going to really say much about it. We're just going to read here. But why should you live a life of thanksgiving? How is the Lord good? How was the Lord good to the people of Israel? And how is he good to you? Look at verse 2 through 8. And I'm just going to reference him. He says, "Let the Redeemer of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from trouble and gathered from the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. So wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way. Until they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man." So, how has he been good to us? First of all, he delivers us from trouble. From the trouble we create for ourselves. This is how he's been good to us. He delivers us from the trouble that we create for ourselves. See, the people were scattered and they're all coming to the city. It says he brought them back into the city safely. But they were away from the city of worship because of the trouble they created for themselves. How is he good to them? He brought them back. Isn't that amazing? They disobeyed. How is he good to you? The Lord delivers you in his mercy from the trouble that you create for yourself. We create messes in our lives, don't we? Right? I don't know you. I do all the time, right? Sometimes we say things and then we have to go and pick up after ourselves, right? Or do things and then we have to clean our mess. But the Lord is good. He delivers us. And each section of this psalm ends with that passage. Look at verse 8. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works, the children of men. So the first way in which he shows love is that he delivers us from the trouble we create for ourselves. Look at verse 9. Oh, 10 to 15. I'm sorry. Let's look at 10 to 15. "Some sat in darkness in the shadow of the earth, of death, prisoners in afflictions and in irons, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Again, look at the verse 15. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. The second way in which he's loving is he humbles us and brings us to our knees. You know what happened to the people in the land of Babylon? They were doing hard labor. That's what the passage said. For some sat in darkness, for they rebelled against the words of God. So he bowed their hearts down with labor. You see how many times the Lord has brought us to our knees. He brings trouble in our lives so that we may bend the knee. How is he good? Psalm 32:4 says, your hand was heavy upon me. The Lord's hand sometimes is heavy upon us, right? So that he can bring us to our knees and be thankful when the Lord does that in your life. It doesn't look like goodness, does it? It looks like he doesn't love us, but he brings us to our knees because he loves us. And that may be what you need today. Maybe today, after all this year of a lot of sin in your life, you need to be brought low and you need to repent so that the Lord may restore you to fellowship with him. And finally, he forgives our sins and restores us to walk in righteousness. That is verse 17 to 22. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity, they suffered affliction. Verse 19, then they cried to the Lord and their trouble. That repeats again. And he delivered them from their distress. He healed them. He delivered them from their destruction. So the Lord forgave their sins and restored them to walk in righteousness. It's just amazing. And the rest of the chapter keeps on going with different things. I just wouldn't have time to go through it, but have time to go through it on your own. The Lord is good. I mean, just pause for a second. Look, verse 17 to 22, he forgives our sins and he restores us. Just pause for a second and think about this week. Just this past week, how many times did you sin? I bet you couldn't even count them. I can't. I cannot. How many times did you sin this week? How many times did you sin in 2022? You couldn't even count. But the Lord has been good, still, and merciful. Have you repented of the sins you have committed this week, this year? Are you in right relationship with God? I want to encourage you today and remind you that his love never ends. And therefore, you must be grateful. When it seems that he's not loving, he has a purpose. He has a purpose. Sometimes he brings trials in our lives. And trials have the capacity to make you bitter. But they also have the capacity to make you better. Trials can diminish your faith, but trials can also increase your faith. Trials can make you ungrateful, but they can also help you be more grateful. When you are grateful in the midst of difficult circumstances, you show that you have understood who God is. He is good. Are you grateful? Let me read a passage to you as we close. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you. And then we'll pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Is that you? Do you give thanks in all circumstances? I hope that will be you this year, that you will be humble and you will acknowledge that God is good all the time and you will live a life of thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much for your goodness. Your grace, your steadfast love endures forever. We give you honor and we give you praise and we give you glory. I pray that you help us be thankful people, grateful people, and that you will be always the subject and object of our thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll sing a song. Then Pastor Phil will dismiss us in prayer.